A few weeks ago, my last aunt passed away, my Aunt Meskel. I only had two aunts, both were my dad's sisters. My mom had a sister, but she died when she was a young girl, so I never knew her. So I only had my two aunts, my Aunt Audrey, who died several years ago with cancer, and my Aunt Meskel, who passed away a few weeks ago. They both loved Pepsi-Cola. That's the only pop they would drink is Pepsi-Cola. And they both loved their nieces and their nephews. My Aunt Meskel could cook more like my Grandma Manning than anybody else in the family. And so I always enjoyed going over her house to eat. And one of my favorite recollections of my Aunt Meskel was there was a two-month period of time where when I was still working, I was dating my wife, my future wife. And Debbie at that time was living in Royal Oak, and my Aunt Meskel was living in Royal Oak. I was working in Pontiac, but still living at home in Detroit. And so on Friday night, which was our date night, I would have to drive from Pontiac back to Detroit and back up to Royal Oak. I only did that one week, and my Aunt Meskel heard about it, and she called me and said, "That's crazy. You, after work, you just come to my house, you can shower, change your clothes, and then you can go on a date and save all that driving." I said, "Well, it sounds like a good idea to me." So next Friday night, I went over there, and I was working in the subpay office, so I got off about 2:30. And so I got to her house about a little bit before 3, took a shower, and got my clothes changed, came out, and she says, "Okay, sit down." I said, "Sit down for what?" She said, "I made you dinner." I said, "I'm going on a date. I'm going out to eat. I don't need dinner." She said, "Oh, no, you got an hour or so yet. You can eat and eat again, so sit down." So I went into the dining room, and believe it or not, now this was Friday night. The rest of her family went home yet. I mean, kids were still at school. Her husband was still at work. She had on the table a Sunday dinner. I mean, there was fried chicken, there was mashed potatoes, there was gravy, there was green beans, cream corn, coleslaw, cornbread, and banana pudding for dessert. All my arguments went away. I said, "I certainly have time to sit down and eat." And so I sat down and eat, and of course, Debbie wondered for the next 7 weeks why I didn't eat much when we went out to eat, because that's the way it was for the next 7 weeks. When my Aunt Meskel died, my brother and I went to the funeral home. And we did at the funeral home what you do at funeral homes when you go and pay your respects to somebody that you loved. You stand around and talk about them. And we were talking to a couple of our cousins, her son and one of her daughters. And we were talking about the different things that we had done together and the different memories that they had. And I want to make a distinction this morning. As we talked to them, they had memories. They had things that were in their conscious mind, things that they recalled like they'd happened just yesterday. They had no trouble remembering the details. Because those things that they remembered were in their minds, and they thought about them often. They didn't have to work much to bring them back and remember. On the other hand, because there's a difference between a mom and an aunt, on the other hand, my brother and I had recollections. There were things in our mind, but they were in our unconscious mind. And when we tried to recall them, some of the details might be fuzzy because we didn't think about them all the time like they did. And so we had to work at it some to remember the experiences that we had. And if you go to the dictionary and you let Mr. Webster define the difference between a recollection and a memory, here's what he says. A memory is a retained mental impression. A retained mental impression. A recollection is the act or power of recalling something to your mind. And so a memory is something that you've retained in your mind. A recollection is something that you got to work at to get it back to your mind. Aunt Meskel's kids had memories. There were things in her mind that they knew the details of because they thought about them often. My brother and I had recollections, things we had to work at to bring back to our minds. There's too many Christians that live their Christianity with recollections, not memories. Jesus said, as he instituted the Lord's Supper in these verses that we read a moment ago, he said, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. What Jesus was saying is, I want you to have memories. I want you not just to have recollections, but I want you to have memories. I don't want you to have to work and to recall an experience or event. I don't want it to be in your unconscious mind where the details might be funny. I don't want you to have to need something to remind you of it, to bring it back to your mind. I want you to have it in your mind all the time. I want you to think of it often. I don't want you to have any trouble remembering the details. I want it on your mind every day. And this morning, I think he says to us, I want you to remember three things. I want you to remember, first of all, Calvary. I want you to remember how I was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. I want you to remember how they took me and had a mockery of a trial, broke every Jewish law that there was when it comes to a trial, when they tried Jesus before they crucified him. I want you to remember, not a recollection, but a memory. I want you to remember how they delivered me to that group of soldiers, and how they slapped me, and how they plucked out my beard, and how they stripped me and shamed me and beat me, not only with their fist, but with the rods. I want you to remember, not a recollection, but I want you to have a memory of the cat of nine tails. That whip that had nine lashes on it, and at the end of each lash was tied a piece of metal or a sharp stone. And how that soldier took that cat of nine tails and 39 times lashed my back. I want you to have that as a memory, not a recollection. I want you to remember as they laid me on the cross and they drove nails through my hands and my feet. I want you to remember as I hung between heaven and earth and the sun went dark and my father turned his back on me and I cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I want you to remember the spear that the Roman soldier stuck in my side and the rest of my blood drained out. I died innocent. I want you to remember that. I died innocent. I did not die for any sin that I committed. I was tempted in all points like as you, yet without sin. I died for none of my sins, but I died for your sins. As Jesus hung on the cross, the Bible says that God took every one of our sins, every one of our transgressions, every one of our iniquities, and laid them on his son. I'm just overwhelmed as I think about this. Every sin that I've committed in the past, every sin that I will commit today, every sin that I will commit in the future, that day on Calvary was laid on the innocent Son of God. And he died to pay for my sins so that I could be justified before God, so that I could stand before God just as if I never sinned, so I could be a child of God and a member of his family. He says, and here's what Jesus is saying, I don't want you to have just recollections. I don't want you to only think about that when you have the Lord's Supper. I don't want you to only think about that when you hear a sermon about the cross or a Sunday school lesson about the cross. I want you to have it as a memory. I want it to be a mental image that's impressed in your conscious mind that you think about every day. That the Son of God, the perfect Son of God, left heaven. He dwelt among men. He became obedient as a servant, even obedient unto death. And he died in our place, paid our debt so that we could live forever and ever. He says, there's something else I want you to remember. I don't want you to just have a recollection. I don't want you to be fuzzy on the details. I want you to have it in your memory. I want you to think about it often. I want you to think about it every day. I want you to remember where I am and what I'm doing. This morning, Jesus is in heaven. The Bible tells us he's doing at least three things. Number one, he's watching how we live our lives. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible talks about that great cloud of witnesses. And I imagine in my mind a grandstand in heaven. And all those that have died and gone before us, all the Bible heroes are sitting in those grandstands. And they're watching how we live our life. They're cheering us on. It's that those grandstands are filled with the saints. And in the middle of the saints, in grandstand of heaven, sits our Savior. And that verse in Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's in heaven this morning watching how we live our lives. Number two, he's serving as our advocate. When we mess up and Satan comes before the Father and says, hey, did you see what that Christian did? Did you see how he disappointed you? Did you see how he made the wrong choice? My advocate, who, by the way, sits at the right hand of the Father all the time, except when he stands to welcome saints into heaven as he did Stephen. When Satan accuses me before God the Father, my advocate says, Father, I know that he messed up. I know that he disappointed us. But it's under the blood. It's under the blood. I died for that as well. He's our advocate. And then number three says, I want you to remember that I'm in heaven, and one of the things I'm doing is I'm preparing a place for you. In John chapter 6, the Bible says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus said, I don't want you to have just recollections about where I am and what I'm doing. I want you to have memories. I want you to think about every day that I'm in heaven and I'm watching you, how you live your life, and I'm your advocate, and I'm preparing a place for you. Yeah, and I want you to keep those thoughts forefront in your mind. Not a recollection where you have to be reminded by communion. Not where you have to be reminded by something that happens. But they're memories. They're memories. And then he says, number three, I want you to remember that I will be back. I'll be back. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Just as sure as he came the first time, born in Bethlehem to a virgin, announced to shepherds, worshipped by kings, just as sure as he came the first time, he will come back the second time to receive us unto himself. And he says, look, I don't want you to just have that as a recollection. I want you to have it as a memory. I want you to think about it often, that I'm coming back to get my own. I'm coming back to get you. He's coming. He is coming. Last night when my brother called me, told me about my dad, I turned to John chapter 14. And I started singing that little chorus that we sing sometimes. You're lucky this morning. You're going to have four specials. We've had three already. You're about to get another one. Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. Jesus is coming again. I used to have a pastor, and every day he said when he got up, he would go to a window that looked toward the east, and he said, dear Jesus, is this the day that you're coming? I pray that it would be. I pray like John, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And he prayed. He said, Father, help me to live my life today like Jesus is coming back. He said, this do in remembrance of me. I don't want you to have just recollections where you have to be reminded of something, where you have to work up what I want you to remember. I want you to have a memory. That thing that's impressed on your mind, that you think about often, that you don't need to be reminded of. You just think about it often because it is on your mind. I want you to remember Calvary. I want you to remember what happened on the cross. I want you to remember where I am and what I'm doing. I want you to remember that I'm coming again. I think the disciples did. Brother Darwin sung like he was Peter this morning, told the story from Peter's standpoint. I think Peter lived his life with these memories. I think Paul did. I think anybody that does anything for God does. They keep in their mind Calvary. They keep in their mind where Jesus is and what he's doing. They keep in their mind that he's coming back. Don't settle for a recollection. Yes, it's wonderful to have the Lord's Supper. It's wonderful to be reminded. But I hope we as Christians don't just think about Calvary on the first Sunday of the month. I hope we don't think about the price that he's paid just when we pass this little piece of bread and pass this little cup of juice. I hope it's a memory. A memory that we think about every single day. Now listen, if you're here this morning, I'll tell you the best way to get that memory is to receive Christ as your Savior. If you're here today and you've never done that, I don't care how old you are, I don't care how many times you've heard the gospel, if you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, the thing that you need to do today is ask him to save you. You're a sinner. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is separation from God. And that's the price that Jesus paid when he went to Calvary. He paid the penalty for our sin. And he's able to offer to every person the gift of life because of the price he paid on Calvary. Just like any other gift, to get it, you got to come. You got to take it. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So I believe in my heart, the center of my being, that Jesus is the Son of God, that I'm a sinner, that he died for me. And I ask him to save me. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Please save me. He'll do that if you ask him to. And I can't think of a better way to start 2013 if you're not saved than to do that. Now, if you are saved, and most of us are here this morning, let's do what he says. This do in remembrance of me. Not because you needed to be reminded. That's a recollection. This do in remembrance of me. Because that memory is on your mind. Because that memory is on your heart. We come together and we celebrate it together. Not to be reminded, but to do it because we have the memory. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the free invitation that's to whosoever to come and receive the gift of life from Jesus Christ. And I pray for those that are here this morning that don't know him. I pray, Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, that right now you would speak to them. Help them understand that their sin separates them from you. Help them understand there's nothing that they can do to fix that, but that Jesus did everything that was required when he died on Calvary. And if they come to him this morning, come to him as Savior, he'll save them. Father, right where they sat, they can pray the prayer, "Dear Jesus, be merciful to me, I'm a sinner. Please save me," and he'll save them. But Father, if they've done that, or if they need help in doing it, help them to walk the aisle in just a moment, and we'll help them ask Jesus to be their Savior. Bless this time of invitation. Fix in our minds Calvary, where you are and what you're doing, and the fact that you're coming again. For it's in your precious name we pray. Amen.